you would, take out your Constitution. You have, everybody have a copy? We're in the section of Article Number 1, Membership, or Bylaws, I guess is the heading. Everybody have a copy? Okay, I think we left off. We talked about Number 1 and the qualifications, and we mentioned also about maybe looking at our Constitution and trying to put something in that might change membership a little bit. We talked about the fact that when children come into our church, when they're under 18, they come in as associate members. And then when they turn 18, often what we do is just they're regular members. They're voting age, and we let them be members. But the one thing I think that we neglect to do is to actually give them a copy of this and ask them if they really want to be a member of our church. And as I've been thinking about it more and more, I really think it's something that we ought to look into and maybe change this coming year at our annual meeting, just because when a person turns 18, I think they need to look at this and say, yes, I agree with this, and I want to be part of this fellowship, because they're an adult. They're not, as long as they're under their parents' authority, those young people under 18, I think, number one, parents are responsible for their children. And then when they turn 18, they become adults, or if they're out from under their parents, then they need to read this and realize that this is something they have to be held accountable to, or whatever. So anyway, I think most people agree with that, but we'll talk about that more as we go along. Again, I think we mentioned Number 2, procedure. After having given satisfactory testimony as to conversion, baptism, and views of Christian faith and practice, the applicant for membership in the church shall be recommended to the church by the pastor and board of deacons. The membership of the church shall consist of those who are received by vote of the church on the recommendation of the pastor and deacons in one of the following ways. And you can see there's three different ways here. One is a profession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, followed by baptism. That would be somebody that comes to our church. Maybe they get saved, and then they want to become a member of this church, and they become baptized, and we talk to them about the Constitution. They read the Constitution, and then they say yes, they want to be a member. So, and then that's a profession, just a profession of Jesus Christ and baptism. And then B is by letter of dismissal from another church holding the same faith and practice. I believe this is a correct way for somebody to leave a church, and someone to come into a church is by the church they leave with a letter. Again, they should leave on good terms, and I know there are circumstances where maybe the pastor's off and the church is going a different direction from the right things, and they may never get that letter. That's a different situation. That's why we have C in there. And C is by experience. If having been baptized and holding membership elsewhere or in a peculiar circumstance cannot obtain a letter of dismissal from his respective church or group, or by restoration, if having been excluded from membership of this church and upon giving satisfactory evidence for restoration or explanation of lapse of membership. So this covers those that are coming to our church, don't have a letter, can't get a letter, but they've their testimonies, they left in good standing with the Lord, because if they're in a church that goes south, you can't be in good standing with that church, obviously. And so they give a testimony that they want to follow the Bible and believe that. And they looked at the Constitution. They agree with the Constitution. And that's one part of it. And then the other part is if somebody has been disciplined and they come back to the church and they want to be a member or be restored, they would give testimony to the deacons and me, myself, and about whatever situation it was, and that they, you know, really understand that what they did was wrong, and they would ask for forgiveness for that, or they have asked for forgiveness from the Lord and want to ask for forgiveness from the church if it's a public situation. And then they would come before the church and ask that forgiveness, and from there they could be restored into membership. Again, we would go over the Constitution with them, make sure they're still in full agreement with it, and then they would be restored to membership. So C covers kind of two situations. Then three says recognition. Okay, so how do we recognize these people? The pastor, deacons, and members shall extend to all new members the right hand of fellowship in recognition of their admission to all rights and privileges of the church. All persons united with the church shall be made acquainted with church constitution and bylaws. Again, we might want to reword this a little bit and just include those children who get saved at a young age that would not necessarily understand all the stuff in the Constitution, and maybe just that they would come as an associate member under the authority of their parents or something like that. We'll talk about it, but I can see where maybe we might want to just put that in there so everybody understands that. Right now, I think it's kind of just understood that when a child comes and trust Christ, get baptized, they become a member of this church. That's generally what happens. For instance, Kelsey's a member of the church, but she can't vote. But she, so when she turns 18, I think the appropriate thing to do would be say, Kelsey, would you still like to be a member of the church? And she says yes. They have her read the Constitution and have myself or her parents or whoever sit down with her. And if she has any questions about it, explain it, and then maybe just come before the deacon and say, yes, I still want to be a member of the church. And so then we would vote maybe as a full-time member, or we wouldn't vote. I don't know. That we have to think about those things. But it's just something I want to give someone Kelsey's age the opportunity to say, yes, I really want to be a member of this church, and I will be responsible to the Constitution. And that's not to say she's going to follow everything in here perfect, because if we did that, we'd all be out of here, probably. So anyway, this is just the, it's not so much the letter of the law as the spirit of the law. We want to do these things and try to do these things. None of us are perfect, though. So what's the duties? Duties. Members are expected to be faithful in all the duties essential to the Christian life. Anybody want to explain that a little bit? What are some of the duties of the Christian life? Faithful to all duties. Yeah, I mean, it gives some here, but it doesn't really tell everything. Yeah, seek a ministry in the local church. Does everybody in the local church need to be involved in every ministry of the local church? No. Where did you get that from? Putting up bulletin boards?
Yeah.
No, I don't know if that's your gift or not, but right. I mean, that's exactly right. We all, and let me stress this. I really want to stress this. And make it clear. I'm going to preach all the time that we ought to be busy, we ought to be in ministry, we ought to be doing this, doing that, doing these things. But what each individual is responsible to do is what God has given them the ability to do, for sure. Now, we all have to be witnesses. That doesn't mean we all have to knock on doors, but we're all to be witnesses. That's just a given. You can study it in the Great Commission all through the Bible. But we're all gifted in different ways. And so, but everybody, let me say this, everybody ought to have a responsibility in the ministry. Everybody ought to have some responsibility in the ministry. Whether it's taking a month and cleaning the church, that's a service of the church. Not everybody's going to do that, but maybe because they don't have time or something, there's a reason, or maybe I can't push a vacuum cleaner, whatever it is, but everybody should have a responsibility. So we all have different talents, like Randy said, so we're all given different responsibilities. And what I want to stress is that just because there's something lacking or needs to be done doesn't mean you're the person to do it. Does that make sense? Here's something I learned a long time ago. If something needs to be done, God's going to provide, and until He does, it don't need to be done. Now, I'm not talking about essential things like plowing and things like that. I'm talking about, for instance, a bulletin board, for instance. Well, my heart's not in that. I just don't want to do that. And I just pick on bulletin boards all the time. But there's some people who like that. If God's given you that gift and there's an opportunity to do it, then that's the person who should do it. Does that make sense? I want people doing things that they really want to do, that they're enthusiastic about it. I really want to do this. Those are the people who God is using for that particular ministry. They have that vision. I don't have it. And I've seen other people that do, and they can draw up this and draw up that, and they can do three drawings. It'd take me 3 weeks to do one. And they can come and say, what do you think about these three or whatever? And that's just their gift. And so that's what we're looking for, is people that are gifted to be in those positions, whatever they are. So again, as we were looking at this, members are expected to be faithful in all duties essential to Christian life. Basically, most of those are mentioned throughout this Constitution that we've already read, the duties of a Christian, okay? Should we be praying for each other? Yeah, of course. That's part of our responsibilities. Now, again, we worded it, whoever wrote this, called it a duty. In my mind, when you love the Lord, it's not a duty at all. It's something that you want to do because you love the Lord. Now, I understand there are times when you start out in that situation, but the duty really turns into, I love the Lord and I want to accomplish His mission in our life. So we want to be doing those things He's called us to do. So duties, members are expected to be faithful in all duties essential to Christian life, faithful in attendance and service on the Lord's Day and in the midweek service. So let's talk about that for a little bit. What does that mean, faithful attendance and service on the Lord's Day and the midweek service? Yeah, okay. But what if you can't be here? What are some reasons why you couldn't be here? That's the good word I use all the time. What does that mean? Huh? Okay. Have you been providentially hindered from church lately?
Yeah.
You have, haven't you? Have I? Yeah. Sure. There are times when we are providentially hindered. Now, I'm going to say this, which I wouldn't have said this before. I would have said there's no excuse for not being in church on Wednesday nights if you have no other place to be or whatever. But I realize that, number one, you're providentially hindered if you got to be at work. That's just the way it is, okay? Can't do anything about that unless the Lord leads you into another position or job. You're providentially hindered if you're sick. You know, if you're sick, we don't want you here. Not because we don't want you here, because we want you to stay home, get all better, and not get anybody else sick. Okay? So it's a two-way street. And then there's also, and I just realized this probably 2 weeks ago. We were coming back from Augusta, and it was getting kind of late, and the roads were a little bit nasty. And I thought to myself, if this was Wednesday night, I would not be driving to church from Farmington or even Kingfield. During the winter, now let me stress this, I'd be here every Wednesday night in the summertime. I don't care where I lived. Farmington or there or next door back here. Why? Because I think it's important and I'd find a way, unless my job hinders me or I'm sick or there's something else that comes up. I mean, I'm just saying that's kind of the way I look at it. Now, it's not a do or die thing. It's a, you know, I feel like it's my responsibility. Why do you need to be at church on Wednesday nights anyway? I'm just going to come up here and we're going to go through the prayer bulletin. We're going to preach a little bit about something and maybe do some missionary stuff, but why should you be in church on Wednesday night? Huh? Right. Okay. Amen. It works. What else, though? Right. That's an important word. Right. If you don't come on Wednesdays, and you're also missing some things, I know you can get them other ways. I mean, we do record the services sometimes, most of the time, if it works out. I understand that. But when people come on Wednesday night, It's a body of believers coming together, unified, praying, and some prayer requests you don't even know about if you don't come, because you don't hear them. We give prayer requests every Wednesday night. We do the prayer bulletin and prayer request. So a lot of times folks who don't make it don't get that opportunity. And it just also encourages other people. When they see you here, and I'm not saying anybody thinks this way. Maybe I'm the only person who does and think sometimes this way. Is that when I was like you, just a lay person in the church, and I saw people out, one, I wondered if they were sick. Two, it's like, wow, I wonder what happened to them type thing. But when they're here, it's like, man, they're here and we're all in the same boat and we're doing the same thing, trying to go the same direction and learn what it is to be a Christian and learn how to live as a Christian. And if you don't come on Wednesdays, you do miss some. We're doing the book of Joshua on Wednesday nights and talking through that and going through it. So you're not here for that. And there is something about being here other than listening to a program or your internet or whatever. And let me say this. Watching messages on TV or listening to messages, that's good. I want you to do that. But it never is a substitute for church. Okay? That's not a substitute for church. If you're a member of this church, you're part of the body of this church, then you should be here when you can be. So, with all that said, you can disagree with that if you want. I just believe it's right that if you can be here, you be here. Now, let me say this. There are other reasons for not being here. If for some reason you can't afford to come to church on Wednesday nights. And I can understand that. If you live a long distance and you have to put gas in the car. But, you know, I also believe that when you start praying and asking God, He'll see you have that money to get to church because He wants you in church. Who started the church? Christ started the church. And so it's important to Him. So anyway, enough said on that. Then the next, it says, supporting the program of the church. What does that mean? Not that I like programs, by the way, or that word, but what does it mean, supporting the programs of the church? Yeah, I would put missionaries on that. In a sense, if you were thinking programs, that's a program that we have is Faith Promise to support our missionaries. So we're agreeing that we as a body of believers are going to support our missionaries. Now, there's no figure on how much we're supposed to give. That's between you and the Lord. And we try to do that every year, pray about it, and we do what is called Faith Promise, which we try to allow God to lead us in how much we're able to give. Some people, it might be a dollar a week. Some people, it might be 50. I don't know. It's whatever God directs you and where you're at in your station of life. So, yes, that's a program. What else? Yes. Okay. Right. Okay. Let's stop there for a second. And I agree with this. And if you don't, you can come tell me later. Or you can tell me right now, because maybe none of you do. I personally feel that if a parent wants to keep their child out of Sunday school or one of the children's programs for whatever reason, it's their responsibility. Does that make sense? I mean, I believe in the programs that we have. I believe that we're trying to help people in children's church, Sunday school, and in the Sprouts. But if for some reason you feel like it would be better if your child was not in that situation, I personally believe nobody in this church ought to give you any flack about that. Make sense? You're the parents. And when you send your kid to any program, you're delegating your responsibility to somebody else. And so, to me, it's up to you. Now, I hope the programs that we have and the people in those positions are going to be the right folks. That's what we're counting on. But again, you as a parent, you make the decision. Anybody? Comments? Agree. Okay, good. Thank you. One agree. Okay. Let's see. And what other church programs are there? We got Sunday school, junior church, missionaries. What? Yeah, missionary, cards, and that's part of the women's activities that they take care of for us. But our church, whether some of you may not know this, but every missionary on their birthday gets a card, whether they're a child or an adult. And the ladies' ministry has divided that up into 12 months, and they send those cards out from our church. So they know they're not forgotten and that we're praying for them. So, and I appreciate all the ladies that are willing to do that. Okay, what else is programs? PBS, yeah, exactly. And that's something we need all the support we can get. Sometimes we think that, well, I'm not teaching, I'm not playing the games, or I'm not doing this or doing that. We think, well, I'm not needed, but that's not true. We need every person here, and the reason we need them here is, number one, is to support the program. Number two is to help us to make sure the kids that are on the grounds here are safe. Because, and hopefully this year, we didn't have it last year, the year before, much, but I'd like to see more children coming from our community. This summer, I think I'm going to feel a lot better, and I'm counting on going on visitation every Saturday as things start to clear up and trying to knock on doors and just remind young people that we still have VBS and we still want you to come, and so we can see if we can get some more children here. But we need everybody to be part of that can. I understand things come up. It's often it's on a Friday and a Saturday, and so there's conflicts there, but I appreciate those who do come and support that. All right, there are other programs. Another one is visitation, and I understand not everybody feels comfortable with visitation, and that's fine. Let me suggest, though, that if you're one of those people, that maybe you come and you take care of the children for an hour. With some help. Maybe some parents with children would like to go visitation as a husband and wife. And if you can't, for whatever reason, feel comfortable doing that, maybe you can do that and just spend an hour, you know. Of course, the grounds will be open. They can play on the everything and whatever, but it's just another way to help minister and be part of the program without being, you know, actually going on, knocking on doors. So all of those are parts of the program. And not to mention just the program itself as far as the children, but the adults that work in the program. When you teach a Sunday school class, something I really need is probably this year I'd like to do is get a couple more Sunday school teachers for backups to help out just in case somebody's out. And so it won't be a crunch time and we'll have somebody in place. And also wouldn't mind having one or two helpers, you know, helping out in the class sometimes just to. Sometimes kids, things happen, and I don't want anybody to get in trouble because something occurred in their class and someone said something happened that did or didn't happen. I would like to know the truth. And if you're by yourself, you're kind of in a situation where someone could say something and you could be held accountable for that, if you understand what I'm meaning without going into too many details. But anyway, that's another thought, and that's something we'll try to work on as part of the programs that we're doing. Okay, next thing is give regularly to the support of the work and finding an active place to serve in the work of the church. So giving regularly to support the work, what is that talking about? Tithing, yeah. As the Lord prospered you, that's above tithing. In other words, if God prospered you more, then you ought to, you know, but you give what the Lord leads you. I'm not the person who tells you how much to give, other than I'll teach you that the tithe, I believe, is the Lord's, and the rest of it He allows you to keep. And as you pray about things, as He leads you, then you can give whatever you want to whatever you want, if that makes sense. Now, let me say that. I just said something might not be 100% clear. I think it's wrong for us as a body of believers to give through this church to a missionary that we don't support. You understand what I mean? Sometimes people will write a check and say, I want to give this to a missionary. We don't support them, and I want to do it through the church. Now, it hasn't happened, I don't think, since I've been here. I can't remember. It may have happened once. I don't remember. Kirk may remember. But anyway, I just want to make that clear that we're not going to do that. Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying? Okay, I just want to make sure. Because, like I say, it's just something that is not right. Also, just so you know this, I think legally, when you write your check to missions, if you were to give a check to a specific missionary, I don't do this, probably should, I think you're supposed to write on there, this is a suggestion. In other words, the money that comes in the mission program should come into the missions fund, period. Okay? Now, some people write checks sometimes to a missionary specifically. Say, for instance, I want to write a check to the Northcutts. Okay? I want to give this to Northcutts. I think legally I'm supposed to say this is a suggestion. I'm just telling you something I learned a long time ago. I don't practice it, but I'm just telling you so you know you heard it. I don't think it'll ever be an issue. But it's just something that usually we put love offering for whoever I do. That's what I put on my check when I make a specific situation like that. All right, let's go to termination. This is a good subject, huh? It's probably the worst subject. Okay. Termination, and the word termination means that whoever's been terminated is no longer a member of our church. Okay? All dismissals shall be made upon the recommendation of the pastor and the board of deacons to the church. Anybody understand why someone would be terminated? And there are a lot of reasons. They're actually listed here, probably. I think all of them are. Well, let's just go through them. It says, any member in good standing who so desires may obtain a letter of dismissal to another fundamental church. That's a termination of membership. If I leave and I'm good standing, if I'm not in good standing with this church, this church should never give a letter saying he was a member of this church in good standing. You understand what I'm saying? If I left this church and the deacons got together, the pastor stirred up the church and wrecked the church or whatever, and I went to another church and that church says, can you please give us a recommendation or a letter? You ought to make sure that you say exactly what went wrong if there was a situation where he wasn't in good standing. Why? Because when a person leaves a church and takes that baggage with them, they're not going to help that church. They're going to hurt that church. Does that make sense? Because they're not right with God. And so that's important that we understand that and we do that. So, but if anybody's in good standing and they leave, for instance, I'm trying to think who has done this in the past. Who got married a while back? Not Jill. She did get married, though. Okay, Ruddy's. I used him last time, but okay. The Ruddy's left, and when I talked to the pastor, Pastor Canavan, I told him what I thought which we should do, and he says, yeah, that's right. So that's what he did. He sent me an email and asked me if they were in good standing, could he have a letter? I sent him a letter back saying that they were in good standing, and there were no issues, and yes, they are dismissed from our church. And so then they join that church, and they'll do the same thing when they come here. I hope, is that when they come here, the Ruddies are not members of this church. Everybody know that? Okay, I'm just asking. We still got them on the prayer bulletin because we knew they were coming back. But anyway, so when they come, they'll have to come before the deacons as well and ask to be members of the church. And then we will, I will probably contact Pastor Canavan. In fact, I might contact him here shortly. And just talk to him and see if they're in good standing, if he could send a letter whenever we get this thing going. So when they send a letter, then we would go ahead and accept them again into our membership with that letter. And, of course, we would go through the Constitution before we accept them, just so they can be refreshed and remember what the Constitution says. So, but anyway, so that's the way we do it. And then B, any member who shall unite with another church without such a letter of dismissal shall be dropped automatically from the church roll. Now, I need to look at the Constitution and find out when we can do that, because for some reason it sticks in my mind that you have to do that at the annual business meeting. Does anybody remember how that was supposed to take place? Well, I'll tell you what, we'll get to it. Number three, where? Page 5? Okay. Oh, I went to page 3. That didn't work. Page 5. Oh, that's different. Oh, does it? I didn't read down through there. Okay, annual meeting. That's what I thought. And consider the attitude of the members, their loyalty, their willingness to support the church. And after proper notification, delinquent membership. Yeah, I'm not sure if that applies here. Well, it says CC above, so I guess it does. No, that's 6 months. B, we're on B, yeah. Anyway, when we go through this, I think we'll find out what it says specifically about that. I need to go back and look at it too. But in my mind, I thought it said the annual meeting. So, for instance, right now, Jill would be dropped off our membership, or should be. She's already united with another church. I think Jacob has united with another church. And so Jacob would probably need to drop off. Not Justin, thank you. Teach me. No, not Jesse. Justin. You're right. Justin. Justin and Jill, and I don't know if there's any others or whatever, but those two, because I know they have joined other churches, that they should be dropped off our roll. I'm just not sure if it's the annual business meeting or we can call a business meeting 2 weeks ahead and do it. It's in here, and I've read it, and I just don't remember. So, yeah, I don't know. Well, as we go through it, it might be that simple. But I don't know. We'll go through and see. You might be right. And in C, it says, any member regularly absenting himself from church service for 6 months without satisfactory excuse to the pastor or deacons may be dropped from the church membership on recommendation of said officers and 2/3 vote of the members present at the annual business meeting. Every available effort, however, should be made to restore him to active fellowship. So, again, if someone hasn't been coming to church and it's been 6 months or longer, when we come to the annual business meeting, the pastor and deacons, as they have discussed this, hopefully we're trying to reach out for this person or whoever this may be, then you would go through this process of just removing them off the roll, okay? And that's at the annual business meeting, that one, okay? So, and then D, member may be subject to dismissal by church discipline, and we're going to go through that probably next week and talk more, a little more detail there, looking at scriptures. And then E, it says, since it is the desire and purpose of the church to maintain an active membership, the board of deacons, pastor, and clerk, church clerk shall constitute a committee for revising the roll. In other words, Lynn, myself, and the deacons ought to meet before the annual business meeting and just talk about the church roll, especially since you are the, aren't you the keeper of the church roll? Do I have it? If you don't have it, I got it. I don't remember. Whenever you're... Okay, well, we'll cross that. I know we've taken people off. I just don't remember who was holding the book at the time. But anyway, we'll make sure that's taken care of. They shall meet before the annual meeting and take into full consideration the attitude of the members, their loyalty, their willingness to support the church, and after proper notification of delinquent members, shall recommend at the annual meeting the exclusion of delinquent members. And then it says see item C above. So, you know, there are churches, and I've been members of a church. I was a member of a church. It was a Southern Baptist church years ago. Whenever they have boards on the wall. I think this church used to have one too, where it had Hemi attended during the Sunday or whatever, and it said what the offering was for the week or whatever. They would change that every week and stuff like that. And some boards had their total membership on there. And I went to a Southern Baptist church. They had 100 and some members. And there was only ever 30 to 40 people in the church. And what it was is they never, ever updated their role. They just, people are on there forever. If you went and knocked on their door and talked to them and invited them to church, they would tell you, I'm a member of such and such church. And they were still on the roll. They just didn't go to church. And there's a lot of that. Our Constitution I like because it tries to keep it fresh and right. Now, if it's not fresh and right, that's my responsibility and the deacons. And so we've dropped the ball a little bit in this because, like I say, Justin should be removed, but Jill, of course, I don't know when we can do that. I'm going to have to find that out for sure. Jill should be removed as of right now. Well, no, she didn't, but she doesn't have to. That's what this says. I mean, the right way... Yeah. Well, what she should have done is when she went to that church is to when she went and asked the pastor, her and Ethan, we want to join church, he should have, and it's probably in his court, should have said, well, what church did you belong to? Yeah. Well, it's kind of a mute point now. I mean, because she's been gone so long and she's in another church. So what I'm just saying is we just drop her. There's no consequences or anything to it, nothing tied to it. It's just she's a member somewhere else. She got married and ran off. But she's coming back. When's she coming back? 2 weeks. Okay. Yeah, I heard that. She actually wished my wife a happy anniversary. She doesn't care about me. But anyway, she told her they were going to Solomon Islands. Now, can you tell us a little bit about that? This is not the time to do it, but... Okay. Okay. So they're talking about possibly partnering up with the Dietrich. Okay. Okay. Well, we'll keep abreast of that. And I mentioned this church on Wednesday night. If that's something that the Lord leads them and they begin deputation, I would like us to pray about maybe being one of the churches to take them on and help support them in that endeavor if that's what the Lord leads them to do. We don't get many young people out of our church go to these places, so I try to make sure that we have a hand in their ministry just because they grew up here. So anyway, that's probably should have been talked about later. But so really, basically, what we're saying here today is, and as we looked at these couple of things, and we really didn't go into Scripture much, we'll do that next week when we talk about discipline, just to go back and look at that. But the articles and the number, when we say bylaws and things, these are not necessarily, well, they're biblical. All of them have biblical principles behind them, but I don't know that you can find in the Bible where it says anything about a letter of dismissal from another church, okay? This is a bylaw, okay? This is different than when we talk about... what's the articles? Church membership statement or of purpose and desire. That is all scriptural and laid out as scriptural. The bylaws are what we as a church have agreed, and they did this before I came, of how we are going to operate when we deal with these subjects, okay, and with the subject of duties of members. Now, that's all got biblical foundation. I can go to the Bible and show you where it tells us we're supposed to be in church. I can tell you where we're supposed to support the programs of the church. I can go through there, but these are written in such a way that they're not written to just say, thus saith the Lord, if you understand what I'm saying. Okay. And so, but we're looking at this, and this is all this here, everyone from 1 to 5, everybody in this room who's an adult that joined this church at some time read this. And when they read it, they what? Agreed with it. That's right. Nobody ever told me and said, well, this one, I might not be able to do that. Never have I heard anybody say that yet. So again, that's something for us to think about and understand is that that's what we're saying is that we, the best we can, are going to try to do these things, okay? And not necessarily that they have to all be done all the time in a certain way. But anybody have any questions or thoughts about this stuff? We've got a few minutes before. Any questions or thoughts? Anything you think ought to be changed? Or, you know, I probably put a box somewhere for suggestions that if you see something that you think may need just to be looked at, there's nothing wrong with that. I think, you know, not that we would say, oh, we ought to rewrite this because this person thinks this should be out of there. But it's something that maybe we do need to look at. That's all I'm saying. Anybody have thoughts or comments? Remember, we love each other and nobody's going to beat you up. Maybe. Okay. Well, we'll start Article 2, Discipline, on Sunday, and we'll go through the verses here, and we'll just explain that as clear as we can, and just try to understand what that's all about and how we're supposed to treat that. A lot of times we don't do that right, I think. And I know I sometimes haven't done it right in our church as well. There are a couple times we've had church discipline. But anyway, we'll talk about that next Sunday. Let's go ahead and bow with a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Lynn to come on up, if you would. And she's just going to probably play 166 is what I'm thinking. And she's playing. Why don't you go ahead and bow your heads and just ask the Lord to search your heart, because we're going to participate in Lord's Supper in just a moment. And just if there's anything that you need to deal with and you can hear, just do it. You know, there's nothing wrong or nothing to be ashamed of from leaving your pew and coming up here and bowing a knee and asking the Lord to give you strength and help you in a situation. There's nothing wrong with that. And for the person who looks at someone and says, they must have a real problem, well, that person needs to jump up and follow you because they got a problem. They shouldn't even be thinking that. So we're going to go ahead and pray. We're going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll play. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity, and we do thank you for the men and women, again, who have written the Constitution years ago. And, Father, as we study it, it's still a good document, Father. It stands on the Word of God, and we just thank you so much for giving the wisdom that you gave for the folks who have put this together. And we just pray that we would be able to honor it and to follow it, because we know it's based on Scripture, and we want to honor and follow you more than anything. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.